Jesus appeared to John and told him to write words to seven churches. Hear these words to the church at Ephesus from Revelation 2, beginning with verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold against you this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. As we begin the new year, I start with a question. What would Jesus think if he came and visited churches in our community? What would he think? Would he be impressed? Would Jesus find things to celebrate? What if Jesus came and visited churches in our community? And more importantly, what would Jesus think if he came and visited our church, Christ United Methodist Church? What do you think about that? The Lord Jesus Christ showing up and visiting our church. What would Jesus say about our church? The spirit of our church, the ministries of our church, our worship, our serving, our giving, our love for one another. What would impress Jesus most? And would Jesus only be interested in encouraging us and commending us? Or would he also be interested to correct and to admonish us? What would Jesus say and do if he visited churches in our community and if he visited our church today? As I think about that, initially, it would be exciting to think about Jesus visiting our church. Wow! The Lord Jesus himself has come to Christ Church. That's huge. He knows about us. He's interested. He's come here on purpose. Surely, he's come to encourage and commend us. That's going to be exciting and wonderful. However, since he's here, do you think he'll also have some straight talk with us too? I wonder if he'd also go so far as to correct and admonish us too. He is the one who comes full of grace and truth. Initially, I think I'd be excited about the prospect of Jesus coming to visit us at Christ Church, but I also wonder if there might be some pain, some heartache involved too. In addition to hearing about things Jesus appreciates about our church, we also might find that Jesus would have some critical or corrective things to say too. How easy would it be to hear criticism from Jesus about our church? Are there areas where we fall short, where we miss the mark? Are there ways in which we are not reflecting the good news of the gospel or the heart of Jesus and his kingdom? I don't know, but it might be a bit scary. It might be a bit tough to take. And yet we know Jesus would share in a spirit of love and grace and truth. Some of what Jesus would say might be hard to hear, but it would be just what we need. Today, I'm beginning a new sermon series titled Letters from Jesus. I thought about calling it Letters from Jesus, You've Got Mail, but that's too long. As we look at the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John, who traditionally is John the Apostle, one of Jesus' inner circle disciples. Jesus appeared to John in a vision while he was exiled on the island of Patmos, an island just off of Greece. And Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and to send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor, which is the western part of modern-day Turkey. Revelation 1:11 reads, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." These were real churches with real people facing real problems. And Jesus had particular words to share with each one of them. In his letters, Jesus' words included encouragement, instruction, warning, and promise tailored to each church. Through the centuries, the words of Jesus to these seven churches have had a tremendous impact. These simple yet straightforward words from Jesus have been a means of reflection, conversation, dialogue, and often have sparked repentance, recommitment, and renewal for individuals and churches. The historical context then was a time of persecution and distress. Post persecution in the chat. It was a time of upheaval and uncertainty, and believers across the known world were suffering. We read in John 1:9, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." John was suffering and experiencing persecution for his faith, and understood believers in these seven churches were suffering too. Most scholars think John was writing around AD 95. About 30 years earlier, during Nero's reign as Roman emperor from AD 54 to 68, Christians had been persecuted and killed for their faith, including the apostles Peter and Paul. Though after Jesus' resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church did spread rapidly throughout the world, over time, persecution arose. Since Roman authorities at that time were beginning to enforce the cult of emperor worship, declaring that the emperor is Lord of our lives, Christians who declared Jesus is Lord and not Caesar is Lord were facing increasing hostility. John was writing to encourage the faithful to resist the demands of emperor worship and other forms of idolatry, as well as immorality around them. John informs his readers, the final showdown between God and Satan is imminent. Though Satan will increase his persecution of believers, they must stand firm, even to the point of death, for they are shielded against any spiritual harm and soon will be vindicated when Christ returns. The overarching theme of the book of Revelations is this: God wins, Jesus triumphs, Satan is destroyed, and God's people overcome. When we read the end of the book of Revelation, Satan is doomed, death and Hades are swallowed up, there is a new heaven and a new earth, a river flows with the water of life, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, is victorious over all. Yes, when we read it, we recognize the book of Revelation is a distinctive kind of literature, apocalyptic literature. It's a kind of writing that is highly symbolic and not always easy to understand, and yet Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of persecution, turmoil, and challenging times. What did Jesus say to the seven churches of Revelation? How did he commend them? What ways does he challenge, correct, and rebuke them? How do his words then speak to us today? What can we hear for our own lives, our own journey as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ here at Christ Church? As we begin with his letter to the church at Ephesus, Jesus begins with words of encouragement. Revelation 2:2 says, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." Jesus sees the hard work and perseverance of this congregation. The church at Ephesus had its beginning some 40 years earlier during Paul's ministry. In Acts 19, we learn that Paul spent 3 years there preaching the gospel, the longest point that he ever stayed in one place. Ephesus was a significant political, economic, and religious city that was geographically about halfway between Jerusalem and Rome. The temple of Artemis, a pagan fertility god, was there in Ephesus. And Paul's preaching became so effective that people were burning their sorcery scrolls and no longer flocking to Artemis's temple. So much so that the silver merchants, whose business was being affected, got so upset they caused a riot. So this church had a great beginning and obviously had carried on the work that Paul started and persevered during the growing persecution and hardship. Way to go, Ephesus! Hey, here at Christ Church, we've celebrated 68 years of ministry since our beginning as Christ Methodist Church in 1954, a new church on the very outskirts of Tulsa. One of the things I've observed over these last 17 years since I've been here is that this congregation has a strong ministry heritage centered in Christ that has involved a lot of hard work and perseverance over the years too. Jesus continues in Revelation 2:2. "I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false." Verse 3, "You've persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." Members of the church at Ephesus had been through some things, dealing with persons claiming to be apostles or sent ones who turned out to be false. Having to discern and then confront that was not easy. It must have been one of the many hardships, but they persevered. They hadn't grown weary. That is good news. That's an encouraging word. May things like that always be said of our congregation as well. But then Jesus also shared words of admonition. Out of love and concern for them, he says in Revelation 2:4, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." We see from these words that Jesus does have expectations, and he's willing to discipline and correct us. You have forsaken your first love. You've left. You've abandoned. You've gotten away from your first love. Does that happen? Does that happen in churches, in our personal lives? Yes, it can happen. It does happen. I think it happens when we forget that first and foremost, our life in Christ is about our relationship with Him. If we forget to stick close to Jesus, if we lose sight of His great commandment, love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love one another, as yourselves. If we lose sight of his great commission, go and make disciples of all nations, we can drift, and pretty soon we don't have the same fire and zeal that we once had. So what do we do? Jesus instructs us in Revelation 2:5, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Remember when things were better. Don't forget that. And believe that that fire can be rekindled again. Repent. That word means change direction. Act differently. Go another way. The way back sometimes involves radical action. Repent. Repent and do the things you did at first. What were some of those things in your life, those first things? When I think about my early life with Jesus, I was just learning about worship, learning about having that quiet time with God, having a prayer time. I remember I started journaling my thoughts. For Bible study, I got my first study Bible so that I could understand better what I was reading. Serving, I started to learn what serving others was all about through involvement in the church. Don't lose sight of those things that fire up your spiritual life. Find new ways to rekindle that first love. What old thing or new thing could you be doing that continues to fire up your walk with Jesus? For me, listening to the Bible each morning during my Through the Bible in a Year with Nikki Gumbel, as I walk through the neighborhood, has been the new thing that I started a few years ago that helps me to stay close to Jesus better than ever. As far as our congregation goes, I think we've got to continue to make sure the main things remain the main things. Go make disciples of all people, the Great Commission, and love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the great commandment. In my experience, when we focus on those things, our light is bright and our fire is hot. Well, Jesus has some more things to say. He's glad the Ephesians hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, a group that we don't know much about, but that apparently worked out a compromise with the pagan society of that day. They taught that spiritual liberty gave them sufficient leeway to practice idolatry and immorality. Idolatry and immorality. That was a big issue in the Old Testament, a big issue in the New Testament, and is a big issue today. Jesus has strong words about the Nicolaitans here and in another of his letters, so we'll probably touch on it again. So we come to the ultimate question, are we listening to what God is saying? Each of the seven letters includes this sentence we find in Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do we have ears to hear? Or are we already too distracted by the noise of the world? God is always speaking. Do we have ears to hear? Do we have the kind of relationship with God that desires to hear what he is saying? Or would we prefer to have muted hearing with God so we can do more of what we want? Oh Lord, help us to have ears to hear. And so, the message to the church of Ephesus ends with this promise to overcomers. Revelation 2:7, to him or her who overcomes, I give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The word paradise speaks of the personal presence of the Lord Jesus. Remember, it's what Jesus promised to the repentant thief on the cross when he said, today you will be with me in paradise. To those who stick close to Jesus and overcome, even broken and struggling people, like the thief on the cross, Jesus promises continued, intimate fellowship in paradise, sustained at the tree of life throughout eternity. Well, what an overview of Jesus' letter to the church at Ephesus. Words of encouragement, words of correction, words of admonition, and words of promise. May these words from Jesus instruct and impact your life this year and beyond. Remember this, God sees your hard work and perseverance. Hallelujah! If you have forgotten or gotten away from your first love, you can find it again. Ask God to continue to give you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying so that you can overcome. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, amazing Lord, we thank you for these amazing ways that you communicate to us through your word. John wrote what he received from Jesus, particularly what Jesus said to the seven churches of that day. And in these words, we find hope and encouragement for our lives. Lord, we thank you for love and grace to go through hard times and perseverance as individuals and as a church. We thank you for the correction and admonition when we need it too. Speak to us, Lord, and may we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us and to the churches. Oh, Jesus, we need your love and grace, your life and light, your truth and power. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us care for and reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom as we begin this new year. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one who comes with encouragement as well as correction for our lives. We need both. If you've forsaken your first love, you can still find it. Do the things you did at first. For now, what is one thing that you could do again? Go for it.
Hey, Lisa, what's wrong?
I got fired from my job at the calendar factory.
What?
I know. All I did was miss a couple days.
Our men's ministry breakfast speaker is Stuart Corder. Stuart and his wife Lisa are from the Houston area and retired here in Tulsa, and have found Christ Methodist as their new church home. Please come and hear Stuart tell you all about his Christian journey.
Beginning in January, Full Circle Worship will meet on the second Wednesday and fourth Sunday of the month. Full Circle is an interactive experience with fellowship, small groups, worship, and prayer. Everyone is invited. Contact Ethan Watt for more information.
How much would you give up for your faith? This month, the All Ears Music Appreciation Society will see the 20th century masterpiece, Dialogues of the Carmelites, based on true historic events. Join us in the movie room, popcorn and refreshments provided.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.